Here is Chapter 7 of Rise 2, written in full and continuing directly from Chapters 1 to 6. This chapter completes the transition from information as necessity to memory as a selected survivor, without invoking intent, agency, or metaphor creep. Chapter 7. Memory as a survivor. In the previous chapter, information appeared as a requirement. Systems that persist must distinguish states. Detect deviation. Respond selectively. That already forces information processing. But memory is something stronger. Memory is not just information. It is information that lasts. This chapter explains why memory is not optional once organization crosses a threshold and why most memory fails. Memory is not recall. Memory is often understood as retrieval, the ability to look back. That is not what matters here. A system has memory if past states constrain future behavior. Traces persist long enough to matter. Eliminated failures are less likely to recur. Memory is forward-acting. It biases what happens next. Why most memory is unstable? Imagine a system that records everything. Every fluctuation. Every transient state. Every noise spike. Such a system is fragile. Excess memory amplifies noise. Increases coupling. Slows response. Creates contradictory constraints. Most memory destroys the structure that holds it. Only memory that improves survivability persists. Memory is compressed history. Survivable memory is not detailed. It is compressed. It does not preserve events. It preserves lessons. A good memory does not say, this exact thing happened. It says, this class of situation leads to failure. This response reduces damage. Compression is not a choice. It is enforced by constraint. Where memory lives? Memory does not require a dedicated store. It can reside in altered thresholds. Changed pathways. Reinforce structures. Suppress transitions. A system remembers whenever its dynamics are biased by prior elimination. This makes memory ubiquitous and invisible. Why memory introduces asymmetry? Once memory exists, symmetry breaks. The system no longer treats all possible futures equally. Some paths are harder to take. Some states are easier to reach. Some transitions are suppressed entirely. This asymmetry is irreversible. Memory makes the future narrower than the past. Forgetting as a feature, not a failure. Memory that cannot be forgotten accumulates contradictions. Forgetting removes obsolete constraints. Frees degrees of freedom. Prevents deadlock. Survivable systems forget aggressively. They retain only what continues to reduce failure. Forgetting is elimination applied inward. Memory and error correction. Memory alone is not enough. A static memory can become wrong. Survivable memory is paired with e-correction mechanisms. Update rules. Decay processes. Memory that cannot be revised eventually destroys the system. Thus, memory must itself be constrained. When memory becomes structural, at sufficient depth, memory stops being incidental. It becomes architecture. Structures arise whose primary role is to preserve memory, to protect it from noise, to update it safely. At this point, the system is no longer just stable. It is historical. Why this is still non-teleological? Nothing in this chapter implies intention. Memory does not exist to achieve goals. It exists because systems without it fail faster. Survivors appear purposeful only because memory narrows behavior. The threshold ahead. We are now at a boundary. So far, memory has shaped individual systems, biased their future behavior, reduced repeated failure. But memory can do something more disruptive. It can copy itself. Replication introduces a new eliminative regime. Closing sentence. Memory survives not because the past matters, but because repeating failure is expensive. If you want next, I can write Chapter 8, Error Correction as an Emergent Law. Continue directly into Replication and Heredity. Or pause for a mid-book synthesis before the final arc. Just say the next step.